Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, it's columnist and Albany bureau chief for the New York Daily News, Ken Lovett, one of our best friends here, the go-to guy in Albany. Welcome back, Ken.
Good to be back.
So we're seeing, through your stories, by the way, that Andrew Cuomo has been showering the Bronx with money as a possible sign that he wants Borough President Ruben Diaz to run for mayor. Governor Cuomo has put more than $1.2 billion into the Bronx economy since 2011. Much of that has come in the last 2 years as he's gone after and locked horns with Mayor de Blasio. Fill us in.
Well, exactly that the Bronx has gotten per capita more money than any other borough in New York City since the governor has taken office. Certainly it needs it. It has a lot of problems. And the governor's people naturally say, this is not about politics. This is all about helping a community of need that has high unemployment rate, that has high asthma rates, all these kinds of things. And it is true that they started certain programs that were to help the Bronx before the mayor and the governor started really openly warring, which was last year. However, the bulk of the money has flowed since the war began. And it's no secret that Ruben Diaz Jr. is close to the governor. He was a co-chairman of his election campaign. And certainly the governor would love to see Ruben Diaz take him on. Whether he will or not, we don't know. But at the very least, it's kind of a torturing of the mayor that the governor seems to like to do. We should also point out, too, that the extra funding kind of, you know, dates to when Carl Hastie became Assembly Speaker, who is from the Bronx.
He was the boss of the Bronx, right?
He was the boss of the Bronx, and so that doesn't hurt either. But certainly, you know, we've seen the governor hold events with Ruben Diaz, without the mayor, praising Ruben Diaz as someone who gets things done. And let's not forget, the governor and his people have criticized the mayor for being all talk, and it's about getting things done. It's not about a debate society. So it's not so subtle digs at the mayor, and it's no surprise that money is flowing to the Bronx.
Well, Ken Lovett, there are two ways we can go here. Let's start by asking, okay, can Ruben Diaz beat Mayor de Blasio in a primary?
It would be very difficult. I think he's one of the names that's been out there, but let's face it, de Blasio's numbers, as bad as they are, he still has the unions. He still has much of the African-American vote that is important in this. So he hasn't bottomed out yet. And certainly there are others out there as well who are named a Congressman Hakeem Jeffries from Brooklyn, Scott Stringer, the city comptroller. Diaz isn't well known outside the Bronx, so that would be an issue as well. But certainly, being someone who's Hispanic, he could put up a fight. And if the mayor, depending on what happens with Preparara and these investigations, if he's hurt further, Diaz's name is one that would be in the mix, no doubt about it.
Yeah. So, of course, the fact that Diaz is Hispanic has got to be very important to Governor Cuomo.
Absolutely. Look, the governor has had issues with the minority community over the years, but as Hank Scheinkoff, a veteran Democratic operative, said to me, and someone who had worked for the governor in the past, his campaign, said, you know, this whole thing about funding the Bronx is a win-win-win for the governor, because whether or not he is really trying to use Diaz to take out the mayor, certainly, A, it helps an area in need, which the Bronx is definitely in need.
Sure.
You know, B, it helps the governor with a minority population that he's also had issues with. And C, it tortures the mayor. So for the governor, win, win, win.
Let's go there. I've asked you this 15 times, but do we really know what is motivating this hatred from the part of Governor Cuomo towards de Blasio?
Look, at first when this started, we were told this was going to be a completely different relationship. There's always tension between a mayor and a governor. Mayors always resent that they head the biggest city in the world, and yet they have to go hat in hand to Albany for everything, whether it's to raise local taxes, for school funding, everything. So there's always that natural tension. You know, the mayor's looking out for the city, a governor looks out for the whole state. So that's there. But we were told this was going to be different, that the governor and de Blasio are longtime friends, that, you know, de Blasio worked for the governor when the governor was HUD secretary under Bill Clinton. So we said that even though there may be tensions, it will never get personal. The governor, from really day one, there's been issues between the two. It started with the mayor pushing to raise taxes locally on the rich so he could fund his pre-K initiative. The governor, right out of the gate, said, we're going to give you all the money you need, but it was an election year for the governor, but we're not going to raise taxes.
So let me stop you right there, just in terms of historical fact-checking here. Did he give them all the money he needed for pre-K?
Yeah, there's been no complaints that they've underfunded the city, and even de Blasio will say they have the money. But the de Blasio wanted the rich to pay more, so that started. Then there were spats over charter schools. The governor is for them. The mayor really doesn't like them.
And that got really ugly.
They held dueling rallies at one point, but it still never got personal.
Until, I thought that was pretty personal when the charter thing.
But where really, the governor does not have a reputation of playing well in the sandbox with others. So whether it's Tom DiNapoli, state comptroller, whether it's Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, or whether it's Mayor de Blasio, even though they were friends, the governor, you know, he wants to be the alpha dog, and that's what he does. And I thought there would have been a turning point when the governor looked like he was going to lose the Working Families Party endorsement in 2014, the backing. He was really saved by the mayor, who had a lot of input. He went in and really worked out a deal that helped the WFP endorse Cuomo, which was a big deal. I thought maybe the governor would back off a little. He didn't. And then it really exploded publicly when the mayor last year in June, at the end of the legislative session, ripped the governor personally. He says he operates by vendetta, that he's out to, you know, hurt the city.
Well, that's true, isn't it?
But he said it. That was inexcusable to the governor, and for the last really year plus...
Inexcusable to tell the truth?
And for the last year plus, the governor has gone out of his way to really publicly embarrass the mayor. And I think, you know, some of this stuff now with Ruben Diaz is part of that.
Okay. But one more time, and then I'll leave it alone. But if you've been watching this for as long as we have, and people write in the papers all the time, these two men don't get along, they don't like each other, this and that. But in fact, I think Cuomo was the bully and de Blasio was on the receiving end. Am I wrong?
I think de Blasio has taken his shots. I don't think anyone's
clean
here.
But only in defense,
right? No, there were times, like, you know, even at the convention in Philly, he took some shots at the governor, you know, where he said, the governor has been more, you know, on the side of liberal issues now, but it really, you know, he had to come to it. You know, some of the things he said.
Well, that was right.
But some of the things he said were seen as direct shots at him. And so I think neither are pure, but the governor has the biggest hammer. And the truth is, if you throw a rock at the governor, he's going to come back at you with a bazooka. A lot of people feel that de Blasio's biggest error was he attacked the governor so hard, and then he went away on vacation for a week. And then when he came back, he wouldn't go back to the issue. People would ask him about it, the reporters, and he'd say, well, I don't want to talk about that anymore. And the governor just pounded him, and not only pounded him with words, but even with actions, and really started courting some of people who should have been allies to the governor, including the city council speaker, Melissa Mark Viverito. And so in some ways, the fight with the mayor has focused the governor more, because now he's less at odds with a lot of the Democratic establishment than he had been, although the last few weeks he's kind of gone back to his old tricks and has been warring with DiNapoli again and with the legislature. And so he had been trying to kind of tamp down those kind of battles and really focus all his energies on the mayor. But now he's kind of gone back to that the last few weeks.
Well, you know, Ken Lovett, there's an old saying, and he's been employed by the governor a number of times. It is what it is. And I think it should be changed about the governor. He is what he is. I mean, that's the way that guy is. It's Freudian. It's Freudian, you know.
And
I think he came out of the womb this way.
And there was a philosophy that was being put forward, not a philosophy, but a theory, that when he won election, which I never bought into, by the way, that this is a new Andrew Cuomo, that his loss in 2002 and his divorce really humbled him.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, I think he was able to mask it for a while better. And though he was still the same behind the scenes, but out front publicly, it was a different Andrew Cuomo. But I think as the years have gone on now and he's been governor, you're seeing more of the old Andrew Cuomo surface. And as a matter of fact, I won't say more. You've seen the old Andrew Cuomo surface.
Just to return to what I just said, he is what he is. But his numbers, his polling numbers, are better than de Blasio's.
That's right. And that goes back to his theory that you want to accomplish things, not just talk about them. And as governor, he's been able to. So certain issues that impact the city, whether it's a higher minimum wage, whether it's paid family leave, those kind of issues that the mayor has talked about, the governor now has delivered. And he's worked very hard over the last year to win back or try to win back the left wing of the Democratic Party.
And, well, can he? I mean, don't people remember anything?
Oh, I think they remember, and I don't think those who are really hardcore on the left, I don't think necessarily trust him, but they like where he is right now.
So let's go, Ken Lovett of the Daily News, let's go upstate now for a moment. In the 19th Congressional District, there's a nice fight going on between a fairly right-wing candidate, John Faso, and a fairly left-wing candidate, Zephyr Teachout, who did very well against Cuomo in the primary elections in upstate New York. However, Faso is now coming after her for remarks that she made about Israel and about the Palestinians, giving a fair break for the Palestinians. So is this business of Palestinian rights on a part of a candidate suicide?
I don't know how much anymore. It used to be. It used to be, particularly in New York City. Now, this race doesn't touch in New York City, so I don't know how.
Well, a lot of New York City people are moving up in that district, I can tell you that.
It's true. It's true. But I think, especially among younger voters now, it isn't a hardcore pro-Israel kind of constituency anymore, even in New York. I think there is a lot of sympathy for the Palestinian cause. So I don't think it's the political suicide that it used to be. But I do think people will use it as an issue that to try and put a wedge there.
Let's talk down ticket. Trump is going to run. We now, post-Labor Day is really when people begin to focus. At least one newspaper, the Los Angeles newspaper, just showed a poll which gives great doubt to people, but where Trump is winning in this election, believe it or not, which flies in the face of most of the polling that we're seeing. So now we start talking about down ticket, because there's a lot of people who'll be running for Congress, running down the ticket, Democrats and Republicans. We know Democrats show up in these elections, and they're likely to be voting for the top coming out because of the top office. But while they're there, they may well vote for the Democrats down ticket, right?
Absolutely. I think, look, we have seen, you know, there's evidence that we've seen that these Democrats particularly will take the state Senate, because that's going to be one of the biggest issues this year, which party controls the state Senate. Mm-hmm. Democrats have picked up seats in every presidential year, the last two or three presidential years. So it is true more Democrats come out. Having Donald Trump at the top of the ticket for the Republicans in New York certainly doesn't seem to be helping. A Siena poll showed that the bulk of voters think that it actually hurts the Republican cause to take back the state Senate. And having Hillary Clinton at the top of the ticket actually helps the Democratic cause. And if you want kind of proof of that, Jack Martins, who currently is a state senator running for Congress out on Long Island, Nassau County, he's pushing to have the date of the election changed for his race to December 6th because they just ordered a primary that would take place October 6th. So he's saying, well, we should have a longer turnaround, but be sure that he would rather run in an election that's just about his race than with Donald Trump at the top of the ticket.
Any chance he can have his way?
I doubt it, but who knows?
Yeah, he's trying to make a point, perhaps.
That'll be up by the court. That'll be up to the courts.
Yeah. So I think I just heard you say, maybe my hearing device isn't working, but I think I just heard you say that or predict that the Democrats were going to take the Senate, did I?
No, I didn't. I said that the Democrats pick up seats every couple of years, every presidential cycle, and I would expect that a likelihood, although you never know, each race is run individually. Democrats need 1, 2, 3 seats to have a majority, and then it comes down to who the five breakaway Democrats side with.
Let's talk a little bit about Andrew Cuomo and some of his other fights. There is the fight with Tom DiNapoli, one of the most respected, decent people in the state, and he's picking on him again. the Napoli goes out and does audits of some of Cuomo's more questionable programs, some of which have gotten the attention of Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney. And Cuomo was most unkind to one of the nicest men in politics.
If you attack the governor, and this is what we've seen recently with the comptroller and with some lawmakers, if you attack him on a policy issue, they've been responding personally. And so that's what they did with Tom DiNapoli. They called him, he needs to better educate himself on this issue. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Look, the governor fights. You know, he's a schoolyard bully. And he fights, and he does not like to be questioned publicly. He and DiNapoli certainly were at odds early on in the tenure, as was the governor and the attorney general, Eric Schneiderman. And as I said, he's kind of worked the last year or two to tamp that down. And you haven't seen those hostilities boil over, bubble up until recently when he went after DiNapoli again and he went after the legislature again.
Well, does all this stuff actually help him? I mean, does the bully reputation make him safer, or does it put him into a more, sooner or later, all those enemies get together?
Well, that's future. I don't know what happens down the road, but certainly,
well, if you don't know, nobody does.
In one way, it helps him. In one way, when they respond the way they do, it makes the next person potentially more fearful of speaking out against the governor and his policies. However, as the governor has gotten deeper into his term, we're 6 years in now, I think you're seeing more people not as afraid of him, and they are willing to come out and speak out against him, both in the legislature. DiNapoli will say, it's not personal, I'm talking about, issues and my audits. The governor claimed that the comptroller's office audits are of opinion. They're opinions, and you can argue opinions. They're not fact. And, DiNapoli naturally defended his audit team, saying it's professional. They're not doing it personally. They're just looking at the facts and reporting what they find.
Well, the governor's coming upstate with a passion, has always tried to do something. The latest was he was saying that his people were saying that the river still has PCBs in it, and they want to go after GE, quite correctly, to do even more work. And so you have all of these other programs. I don't have any problem, personally, I don't have any problems looking at his upstate strategy. What I have problems with is that in many of these cases, money has been put into his campaign by the beneficiaries of his upstate strategy.
Absolutely. I don't think he's the first governor, but certainly he benefits greatly from this, and that's been since day one. A lot of the people, and that's one of the things Preet Bharara is looking at, was there bid rigging that helped the governor's donors? And we don't have an answer to that yet because the U.S. attorney is still investigating. But certainly it's a question. And even if there's no problem, there's certainly an appearance of a conflict sometimes, and that hurts just as much.
Ken Lovett, we have only 5 minutes left, so I want to go into a sort of a lightning round. Short answers, please. The Governor Cuomo lays blame for nationwide anger on workers getting screwed in a speech to the AFL-CIO. Sounds like this guy still thinks he can be president.
Yeah, it certainly sounded like a national speech, and that would all be contingent on Hillary Clinton losing, which, depending if you believe the polls, doesn't look likely now, but it definitely was a national speech. It's also done. Don't forget, he's got to run for re-election in 2018, and AFL-CIO did not endorse him the last time around, mostly because of the teachers' union. Sure. So I think he's trying to repair his reputation with the unions.
Interesting. That was a good answer. Chuck Schumer, who, after all, was responsible for getting Preet Bharara his position, which is the way that it's done. And now he says it's too early to say whether Bharara should be reappointed, which just shocked me, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know what that was all about. But anyway, he's got an opponent, Ms. Long, who says she'll tell President Trump to keep Preet Bharara. What kind of nonsense is that?
Well, she might tell President Trump, and then she'll probably, in all likelihood, wake up and, Schumer will still have to make the decision. But, she's down by 40 points. I don't really see her having any impact on that decision. However, I will say this about Schumer and why he might have said what he said. I think there's two possibilities. Mm. One is, Bharara used to work for him, so he doesn't want to make it look like, he's close to him and that he's behind some of these investigations. Another possibility is Hillary Clinton may not want Preparar. And then the question becomes, does he want to go to war with the new president over who the U.S. attorney should be?
Especially if he's going to be the majority.
And don't forget, Barrara is investigating not only Cuomo and de Blasio, but also the Clinton Foundation. So he may be holding back to see what she wants to do on that. And especially, like you said, he's going to be the leader of the U.S. of the Democrats in the Senate. So he may not want to go to war on that.
Well, that would be just wrong, because Barrara is one of the great heroes, personally, that I have now. He's done things that were unimaginable in terms of bringing some of the scoundrels to light. And, you know, there are times when you just have to eschew politics and do what's right.
Well, and the flip side is, he may hold this up and maybe he says to Hillary, this is important to me. And will she want to buck the new leader of the new Democratic leader of the Senate? So we don't know yet. It's too early to say where we are on that. But I was surprised he was not as effusive as I thought he would be.
He's very smart, by the way. There is a technical term, a verschlugene reform bill, ethics reform bill in the legislature. Could you tell us a little about it?
The bill would require more disclosure by not only independent expenditures, i.e. super PACs, who their donors are, but it would also require more disclosures from nonprofits. And the nonprofits, particularly the good government groups, are opposing this, saying that it's not really getting to the problems that are afflicting
Albany.
You're
coming after us just because we've been your critics.
You're coming after us because we've been your critic, but you're not talking about outside income. You're not talking about any of the stuff, you know, campaign finance reform, any of the stuff that has really impacted Albany. And they're asking him to either veto or fix the bill. My guess is it's the governor's bill. He's going to sign it.
Yeah.
Probably this week.
He got mad at some of the goo-goos, the good government groups, because they dared to speak out against it. His press guy came out and yelled at them. But it's a phony bill because it doesn't begin to address the real issues that are facing the legislature and always have.
No, but it gives cover to the legislature, including the Senate Republicans, because it allows them to say that they actually did pass an ethics bill. And I don't think...
Well, they've done that many times before.
And I don't think the public is paying that close enough attention to be able to decipher whether it's a good bill or a bad bill. They'll just see on a leaflet that, you know, so-and-so supported ethics reform, whether it's real or not.
It's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. So we're still waiting for the shoe to drop, and we only have a minute here, but we're still waiting for the Barrara shoes to drop on the floor. And what are you hearing?
Clock is ticking, right? Because Preparar could be gone in the new year. So my guess is he wants to get this stuff done sooner rather than later. If I had to guess, and who knows, it could be this week, but I would guess sometime after Labor Day. But I'm not hearing anything. It's been deadly quiet.
And but don't you think that the Clinton people and the others have told, the Democrats have told Barrara, hold back, please, because there's a presidential election coming. We don't want things messed up. Don't you think they might have said that to him?
But would it mess up a presidential election if he came after, what, Joe Prococo or people on de Blasio? I don't know. But I think knowing him, he'll do what, if there's a case to bring, he'll bring it. And very high profile.
We always love talking to our friend Ken Lovett, who knows more about this stuff than anybody I know. And therefore, we thank you, Ken, for once again coming and talking to us.
Always fun. Thank you.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.